I'm Robin Hilton with NPR Music's All Songs Considered, inviting you to check out the StoryCorps podcast. StoryCorps travels the country collecting the wit, wisdom, and poetry and the stories of everyday people. The StoryCorps podcast showcases these unscripted stories about real life. Listen in and discover meaning in the words of someone you might not notice walking down the street. Find the StoryCorps podcast now at npr.org/podcasts and on the NPR One app. We were just talking about how weekends are not long enough, and I get up pretty early because of the kids on Saturday morning. Mm-hmm. By like 8:30 in the morning, Saturday morning, I'm already getting down because I feel like the weekend's basically over.
Right.
Already. I'm the same way. Yeah. I've been like that since a child, actually.
Oh, wow.
Late Sundays are always a little bit of a downer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The second half Sunday of Sunday blues. Yeah, it's always spent just like, what happened? Why?
It was just here.
Right.
It was literally just here.
I could taste it.
So that's Timotep Aku in New York, and we've got Katie Presley here in D.C. I'm Robin Hilton, and Bob Boylan is away this week.
Meh.
So we're going to show him how the show is really done. Play some good music. So when Bob and I do this show together, we never share our songs with each other before we go into tape. So it's a total surprise. And in this case, I got to see your picks, Katie and Tim, your picks. And I was looking over the songs, and I noticed a theme emerging, and it seems to be the theme of catharsis, a purging of our emotions, our feelings, a purging of anger, a purging of grief, of heartache and sadness. And we opened the show, I want to talk about and mention a great loss that we suffered over this past weekend. The Brooklyn rapper Sean Price died this past weekend. He was just 43 years old. And Tim, you were not only a fan of his music, you'd known him since your teen years. Tell us a little bit about Sean and his music.
Sean was, without him necessarily even realizing it, very, very influential. I grew up in East New York, Brooklyn. And Sean was introduced to us as a member of a crew called the Boot Camp Clique. Now, Boot Camp Clique was a collection of rappers from different parts of Brooklyn who just coalesced on basis that they all had skills. They all rapped really well. And I think Sean, as a member, he was one of the most, how can I say, lyrically inclined of the group, one of the most poetic. He was the type of person who was very, very keen on writing. Like he was very, very into constructing rhymes that were a few steps ahead of the elementary on purpose. He wanted to have a style that was very distinct. He wanted to show off his intelligence to a certain extent, even though he had this menacing character about him. Now, Sean was on the verge of releasing a mixtape called Songs in the Key of Price.
Nice.
It was his take on obviously Stevie Wonder's Songs in the Key of Life. And it's a bunch of freestyles, a bunch of songs featuring him and some of his friends that he liked. And this is just him really being in full, like, I'm better than you battle mode. And it's called For No Reason. Check it out.
Benevolent rap cat, 100% real nigga, the president half that. Evident that the rap's bad, make niggas uncomfortable, fucking with that whack. Every bar is hard, every hard bar I spit bizarre to y'all. Every bizarre hard bar up to par, par your bars ain't hard, God, I saw your flaws. Can't be him, boot camp champion, your style is equivalent to ambience. Sleepy, hand me your no-dose. Most of my friend broke, I handle my old clothes. Mayhem Loren, he gave me his rugbies. The weight on the play great, play with the drugs pay. Today's math is wisdom, culture, or being born to equality. Come follow me.
I'm a grown-ass man. Grown ass man.
Whack with the lines, your lines wax back for the rhyme. My shit is right and exact, black, I rap all the time. Ah, never tried to rhyme like the latest. Rapper out, smack him out soon as he say shit. When I spit this rage, understand, motherfucker, I got kids your age. Pick.
I know what the fuck a vegetable is, man. Don't tell me what a vegetable is, man. I'm a grown ass man. Alright?
Mm-hmm.
Can I mention one thing?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So Sean P was 43 when he passed away this weekend. He is considered an elder statesman at the young age in real life of 43 in hip hop. And he was always of the mindset that he should never kowtow, pretend to be something he wasn't, or pretend to be a young person and adapt to styles that weren't natural to him. And I think the last part of that song is where he kind of speaks to that point. Like, I'm a grown-ass man. I'm 43.
Yeah.
I have kids your age.
I was grinning at that.
And there may be a more profound meaning behind the mention of the vegetable, but I'm sorry. When I heard that, I just bust out
laughing.
I know what a vegetable is, man. Don't be telling me what a vegetable is. I know what a vegetable is.
Perfect.
Right in the middle of all that.
Yeah. Right in the middle of all that.
That sense of humor, so great. Man.
Yeah. Well, Sean Price, and as you mentioned, Tim, he leaves behind a wife and I think three young children.
I believe Duck Down, which is his record label that he was signed to, they'll be doing a benefit show this month in New York City for him and his family. And I believe there is a crowdfunding site. I do not know the URL offhand, but there's a crowdfunding site to raise funds for his family that he leaves behind. So, yeah.
Thanks, Tim.
Thank you.
Well, I mentioned the catharsis through music, and as I was listening to not only my own picks but yours as well, I was thinking, you know, an emotion I've never particularly been in touch with is anger, and that comes from it just comes from years, decades of bottling on my part.
Oh, I was just going to say unfiltered joy. Yeah, I've just had such a joyful experience.
No, I've got that locked down.
Yeah,
I just, you know, and as such, I've always had a hard time identifying with music scenes that were sort of a reaction or a rebellion to something like punk, you know, or grunge. I mean, I like the music for the music's sake, but it was never, listening to it was never the release for me that it is for so many people.
Mm-hmm.
And then along came this new band out of Dublin called Girl Band. And I don't know if either of you listen to Girl Band, know Girl Band at all. These are four guys from Dublin.
That explains why I don't listen to them. They're called Girl Band, and there are zero girls.
There are no girls, and they are not a band. No,
false advertising.
Yeah. Four dudes from Dublin, but they make music for the end of the world. Nice. It is just, when I heard this next song that I want to play from Girl Band, it's called Paul. I just felt decades of bottled frustrations and endless irritations just completely come untethered from the dock and just finally just go out to sea and erupt in a big... I felt so alive when I heard this song. And it is a release for sure. The song is called Paul from Girl Band, and it's from the record Holding Hands with Jamie. Thank you.
Well, I have to host the show now because Robin threw out his back thrashing in the studio.
Thanks, everybody. I feel so much better. I really needed to get that off my chest.
My back!
Tim, I was afraid we'd lost Tim on there.
No, I like that. I like that. Meltdown. Holding hands with Jamie must be a very intense experience.
Yes.
Apparently.
Yes.
Who is this Jamie person?
We have a video up for this song. That's Girl Band, and the song was Paul. We have a video for this song up on the site right now. It's about a guy who works on this children's television show, and he's dressed as this giant smiling pig. And inside the suit, he is basically choking on every decision in his life that has led him up to this point, right, where he finds himself in this pig costume on a kid's show. And he just can't take it anymore. And about 2.5 minutes into the song, where it really erupts, he jumps on another character dressed in another animal costume on the set and just starts pummeling him. It's hilarious, and it's also terrifying at the same time.
Yeah, keep people in pig costumes away from you, man.
Yeah, you don't want to run into this guy.
You need background checks.
Yeah, late at night. Anyway, this is a Girl Band. This is from their debut full-length record, Holding Hands with Jamie. It is out September 25th.
That song is a great segue to my first pick, which I want to get into without any context at the front end, because for some of you this will be a punk song, for others it will be a time machine. So let's just get into it.
Let's do it.
We're the King of Kill, and we want revolution. Girls don't know.
So I think there are probably three reactions that I can imagine a person having listening to that song. The first is, that's a punk song I have never heard before. The second is, that sounds kind of familiar. That sounds like the woman that sounds like maybe Le Tigre or
yes.
The Julie Ruin.
That is right. What I thought. Yeah.
Correct. That is Kathleen Hanna, who is the front woman of those bands.
Okay.
The third is, that is a major time capsule to Olympia, Washington, and or Washington, D.C., and or wherever you found yourself in the world in the early 90s when you found out about Riot Girl.
Yeah.
Before Le Tigre, before the Julie Ruin, Kathleen Hanna was the front woman of a band called Bikini Kill. Bikini Kill yes. is credited with being at the forefront of the Riot Girl movement. And the Riot Girl movement, as I said, started in the early 90s, and it was based around girls making room for themselves in the punk scene, literally making room for themselves at shows. Bikini Kill was famous for putting signs around their shows that said "girls to the front," as in girls come to the front of the stage. They encouraged women also to take up space by learning instruments, starting bands, usually not in that order, usually starting bands and then learning instruments, and writing lyrics that confronted the sexism that they experienced in their lives. Not just the sexism they experienced, although that ended up being a major focus, more just girls assume that what happens to you in your life is worth writing a song about. Just because you haven't heard songs about what happens to you, don't assume that people don't want to hear about it and people can't relate to you. So this was an indelible feminist movement, particularly for young feminists in the 90s, and has made a huge impact on the punk scene then and now. So why, you might ask, did I play a song?
Why are we talking about
this? Yeah, from 1993. Because September 22nd, Bikini Kill is reissuing their first body of work, which is called Revolution Girl Style Now. At the time, it was released exclusively as a cassette, but September 22nd, it is coming out on Bikini Kill Records on vinyl, on CD, digitally, and limited edition cassettes for those of you with nostalgia.
That's awesome. Did they remaster this? Do you know?
Yes.
That's great. Yeah. I'll use this as an excuse to mention that last week's All Songs Plus One podcast, in case you miss it, was an interview with Laura Jane Grace mm-hmm. and Lauren D'Inizio, of the bands Against Me and Worriers, and talking about how they survive as women in the punk scene. It's worth checking out. Dawood Tyler Amin with NPR Music did that interview.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's great. Great conversation to hear. Let's go back to New York with Tim and let's smooth it out a little bit here.
Mm-hmm.
Come down
smooth
from
it
that.
Out.
We
Still
just had a couple of revolutions in a row.
Chill us
out, man.
Yeah. Well, yeah, let's get a little bit chill with, but let's still keep the theme of catharsis. You know, it doesn't necessarily take a revolution for something to be kind of an upheaval in your life or whatever, mm-hmm. or something that inspires high emotion. Relationships, interpersonal relationships, romantic relationships can be those types of things. Right here, I selected a song from Anderson .Paak. And this song is about the end of a relationship and what he really misses about that relationship. Anderson .Paak, let me introduce him to the audience in general. He is from Oxnard, California. He is a singer. He is a drummer. He is a producer. He is a songwriter. He is a rapper. He's a very talented individual. And he'll be somebody you hear about a lot more now that he's been featured on three songs on Dr. Dre's Compton album, which is the biggest hip-hop event mm-hmm. in quite a while. This song specifically, I Miss That Whip, is him in very much in R&B mode, but very much with a wink and a nod. So, yeah, let's just take a listen to this.
That whip. still with. I'm the still with.
Have you ever broken up with somebody and then pretended that you didn't care about it at all?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
That's
Did
what
you
I
find
think...
my diary?
That's what I think the little subtle genius of that song is. Because if you didn't know, a whip is just a car. he's trying to say that he doesn't miss this woman. He misses her picking him up from the train
right.
station. And driving him around and, you know, having a pre-roll J for him and all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But the subtext is he really does miss her, but he just can't admit it.
That was
it's
a
called
really
pride.
Great car.
It's nice having somebody to do all my stuff for me. I mean, that's right. really what this...
I love running errands in the car.
That's a... And that's from a record that actually came out, what was it, last year?
Late last year. It's called Venice is the record. I would suggest people get it. Venice is a good example of how versatile he really is. His stuff runs the gamut from kind of, electro-influenced R&B to stuff that's more hip-hop to stuff that's more low-end theory, experimental beat-type mm-hmm. stuff.
And it's Anderson .Paak.
Anderson .Paak. With a dot before the P, a period before the P, because, you know, he just wants to make our life difficult in typing it.
And yeah. looking it up, yeah.
you did a short profile of him and all the other new artists on Dr. Dre's Compton.
Yes, I did on NPR.org at NPR Music. What Dre is really, really good about is introducing us to new artists using his own material as a vehicle. He did that with Snoop. Mm-hmm. He helped usher Eminem into the mainstream. He gave us Kendrick Lamar, a person who had his own following, but once you get that Dre cosign, it's your following on steroids. You're through the roof. So I definitely feel like Anderson's going to have a long and a prosperous career. Mm. Yep.
Let's talk about Diane Coffey. Are you either of you familiar with Diane Coffey?
That was a bill of my cap hitting.
Backwards. Yeah. You got to wear it backwards.
No, really, that's the coolest way.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to look good on
radio.
Turn
my chair backwards and sit down and talk to you. I'm going to talk to the youth right now.
Kind of drape your hands over the back
right,
of the
I've
chair.
Right, I've got some words for the youth.
Yeah. All right, let's keep it real. This is some straight talk, all right?
Hot takes.
I knew he was cool because his chair was backwards.
Right.
He understood me.
Well, Diane Coffey is the music of Sean Fleming. You know Foxygen, the band Foxygen?
Mm-hmm.
He's the drummer with Foxygen. And Diane Coffey is Sean Fleming's side project. He fronts the group, he plays guitar and he sings. And he put out a debut record, or I should say Diane Coffey did, back in 2013 called My Friend Fish. You mentioned Dr. Dre, an artist who relies on the input from so many other musicians, mm-hmm. and I feel like Sean Fleming is someone who relies on the input from a lot of other musicians too, but it's not through collaboration as much as inspiration, because he cribs very heavily from the 1960s pop, psych pop, psychedelic rock. Mm-hmm. He does it brilliantly. I mean, it is just so perfectly executed, as you'll hear on this new record he has coming out called Everybody's a Good Dog. The song, he's got a sense of humor too. If you go and see this guy live, Diane Coffey live, he is just a complete loon on the stage, you know, with exaggerated facial expressions and body contortions, and he really leans into his live performances. But this song is the one that opens the record, Everybody's a Good Dog, and it is called Spring Breathes. Listen for all the change-ups in this one.
How does it feel to be in love again? Perhaps this time won't feel so bad. I pretend it's not the way it was before. But even now I tremble with the thought.
Season.
It's basically an entire record in one song.
It was.
The first change was so stark that I thought you had done something wrong. You know,
right.
Like, oh, Robin, you pushed a button.
He basically starts out with as the Beatles, and that melody reminds me so much of Here, There, and Everywhere, mm-hmm. at the top of the song. He gets to the Beach Boys, and then he goes to yep. T-Rex and Bowie, yep. Zombies, Zeppelin. But Diane Coffey, the song Spring Breathes, the opening cut to Everybody's a Good Dog that is out September 4th. Everybody is a good dog.
I mean, it's the truest really? Thing.
Isn't it that is. True? I mean, yeah. They're only bad owners. What?
Yep.
Only, no only bad owners.
No, there are bad, no bad dogs.
No bad dogs.
Bad
no bad people. mm-hmm. But I think we should go out dancing, and Katie...
I'm here for that.
You can help us out with that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think the only way to go from a song with everything in it is to disco.
Sorry, he did not include any disco.
Right. So I've got the first new music since 2012 from the band Escort. This is a New York band that has a core of three members. That's co-founders Eugene Cho and Dan Bayless. And on vocals, the unimpeachable Adeline Michel. But it can swell to as many as 17 people. Because this is the closing track, I guess I have to say everything beforehand. So I will say this. As you're going into it, listening to this song called Animal Nature, hold in your mind the song Blurred Lines by Robin Thicke and think to yourself, wow, I can handle a woman telling me what's in her nature. I cannot handle Robin Thicke telling me I'm an animal.
Katie, please, I've got this.
It's in my nature. Yeah. Yeah, take this it is, that, Robin. Just,
this is my
finish.
Deal here, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So listen for that. Subtle difference. So we are going to hear Animal Nature. That is the title track off the forthcoming record from Escort. It comes out October 30th.
Thank you, Katie Presley.
Thank you.
Tim Hotep Aku in New York, our New York Bureau. Thanks for joining us as well, man.
Thank you for having me, Robin.
And for NPR Music, I'm Robin Hilton. It's All Songs Considered.